Very much. I'm getting ready to do a paper for one of our teachers in our courses here on church polity. And to me, that's very important because those of us who are going out and don't know anything about our church polity and the polity of some of the sectarian churches, backgrounds that we're going to be dealing with in our community, we almost will be lost. I had a little outline, but sometimes you do something and then you say, well, this isn't really important. I'm going to base what I'm going to say on Matthew's gospel. And this comes to all of us, those of us who are going to be called and those who are not called. To the laity that you're going to be working with, and those persons, it even apply to those persons who of the household that you're going to be dealing with. And this is what Jesus said to his disciples, and he's also saying it to us. All power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. I came from a section of the country. I just got through reading a section on South Africa. And down through the years, I guess you have heard stories and read stories about South Africa. It's a republic, the continent of Africa in the southern part. And then I turned over to another section of Africa, and then in Europe, and then finally a few minutes ago before I nodded off, and then woke up to come over here, I was reading about Russia, the minorities in Russia, and how the Jews were treated. I also read a section that had to do with South America, the minorities there. And then we got two paradoxes we deal with. When you come to, you have minorities, you have a dominant minority. A dominant minority is a minority that speaks of the power, the ruling group. That's the dominant minority. They might not be a majority when you come to numerical numbers, population, but they have the power, they control the system. So we say that's a dominant minority. And then we speak of the minority that may be, when you speak of population in numbers, they are a majority. And in the world in which we live in, colored people are a minority, a majority. Politically speaking and economically speaking, we are a minority. The people of this hue that you see, hunk of protoplasm standing here, there are 2.5 billion of us in the world. We are the non-white, the non-Caucasian, so to speak, and yet we are a minority. I came from a section of the country that I compare with South Africa. I came from Alabama. Section in Alabama known as the Black Belt. In the midst of a society with churches and schools, what have you, is no different from St. Louis when you look at the structure, the culture structure of the area is no different from St. Louis. And yet, when you look at it economically, politically, you can compare it with South Africa. And there are many of us who are seminarians here who, when we leave here, we're going out in the community to minister to people. Go in, see into all the world. And that's going to St. Louis County. Let's go into Wilcox County. Go in Baldwin County. Go in Ocotee County, down in Mississippi. Go into the parishes of Louisiana. Yes, go into South America and even into South Africa. And preach the gospel to every nation, to all the nations. That's our command. That's our call. And to do that is going to be very difficult. You might do it in Monroe County, Alabama, or Monroe County, Missouri, but you're going to have problems when you move down in Dixieland, down where I came from, down in the country where I grazed and raised and was brought up, that you're going to have some difficulties. If you're a white man and ministering to blacks in the South, you're going to have problems. I don't care. You're going to have problems. You go into my district, the Southern District of Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, as a white man to minister to black folks, you're going to have problems. To any of the minorities, you're going to have problems. Why are you going to have problems? That's the reason. We need to ask the question, why? A white man will have a problem. A black man's going to have a problem. Any of the dominant minorities going to have a problem. A member of the minority is going to have a problem. Why are we going to have a problem? Because we're living in a system that is orientated to political subdivisions. We're orientated in a system to traditions and customs. No matter how firm that call has been, Christ has said to us to go and preach. It changes as soon as you leave your door, leave your sanctuary and your church, move out in that community, it's going to change. And it's going to change because of the system in which we are living. Now, we're not going to destroy the system. We love the system. We can't do without the system. We got to have the system. I'm talking about the system, I'm talking about the government that makes the laws and enforces the laws. Up until recently, there was no law to protect me in America. There was no law. A rabbit in my county was more protected than a partridge, a bird, had more to protect him than I had. It was just in 1964 that I had rights, what you call inalienable rights. I had no rights in the church. I had no rights that the government was obligated to protect. I know that might sound strange to you. But anybody could shoot me down and take the perpetrator to the judge and be declared a hero. The first time I went to jail in Mississippi, I went to jail for attempting to attend a service at Christ Lutheran Church in Meridian, Mississippi. I was a violator. I was a trespasser. I was a troublemaker. I was an outsider. I was an intruder. I was an infringer upon the rights of worshipers, white worshipers, at Christ Lutheran Church in Meridian, Mississippi. In spite of the fact that I was at that particular time on the missions committee for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in the Southern District, I was also chairman of the Board of Control, one of our synodical schools, Selma, Alabama. And in spite of the fact I was a lay leader of the black laymen in the Southern District of Lutheran Church, I was a trust pastor. And when I called the pastor and asked at random, may my family attend your church tomorrow at 11 o'clock. We are here to attend a funeral at 2, and I would like to attend a church. And it seems that your church is the closest church here, if it's not a black church. He said, well, yeah, but I have one deacon here who's a member of the Ku Klux Klan. They're very active. You come to the church, and you immediately come to me, and I'm going to talk to him. He's president of the Alabama Power Company, and he's also so-and-so of the Klan. I asked my wife, she said, well, we'll go down. And as soon as I got there, I went, the pastor's already standing at the door waiting for me. I went in. And in a few minutes, somebody said, well, that's the policeman, the sheriff out there. The policeman's out there. He said, let's go see what it's all about. No, he said, I'll go see what it's all about. But then he said, no, you come and go with me. And I got there. He said, are you a J.H. Davis? I said, yes, I am. He said, well, you're under arrest. Mr. Davis, I'm sorry, but you're under arrest. And I have a warrant for you. So come and go with me. He said, this your car? I told him, yes. He had already inspected the car, had called over to Alabama and got the license number confirmed. He had already done his job. I said, well, what's the charges? No, the pastor asked him, what was the charges? He said, trespassing. He said, this is a white man's church. And then he pointed to the deacon and said, he's disturbing the peace. You come and go with me. Well, I had to go. My wife drove the car, carried me to jail. So I almost missed the funeral. I missed the service and almost missed the funeral. And in fact, the way he talked to me, it would have been better if it had my funeral that evening. Because I had violated a law that the Mississippi, the state of Mississippi, was not going to tolerate. I had gone to a white man's church on Sunday morning. At that particular time, I was struggling, and I started at my college days to get a mission going. In the southern part of Alabama, there were 36 Lutheran churches, black churches. I had moved at that time up in the northern part of the state. And we had a campus ministry going. And I was in college, and I finished college and moved in this community to work, and we were in the process of trying to get Lutheran Church for blacks. You would think that, well, you would have no problem going into a community, setting up, organized a black church. A black man and a black community organizing a black church, but it was not so. Some of them that knew that there were in the Lutheran church black people being pastored, and in black elementary schools there were superintendents, there were supervisors who were white. If you bring this church in here, they say it was a liberal church. I wouldn't say our church is liberal, and by no means. I don't know how they get that terminology that we're liberal. We're the most conservative church it is. More conservative than the Catholic Church. But however, they said we were a liberal church. And they lit on my back. The black ministers got on my neck, Baptists and the Methodists, because the white said, now he's going to, you know, steal your sheep. then some of the white ministers, black ministers went and said, oh, we want you to help us to stop this thing. And you know, I got, I don't know whether you call it just inferior, or evil inferior, or inferior inferior, but it infuriated me to hear people who've been taught false ism so long until that was the only order of the day. And I've been taught better and knew better, and now I can't teach a Sunday school. And I had no decent place. I had an old big gum tree on one side of the yard and an oak tree on the other side, and that's where we was carrying on our service. And I had about 60 young people and about 14 adults. There I stood teaching the Word of God as I understood it. The means of grace, the gospel, the law and the gospel. Telling them that I'm a sinner, you a sinner. And without the cross, we are lost, we are condemned. Yeah, these folks going down in the woods hunting Christ, going up the graveyards hunting Christ, going what they call the Mona's ground hunting Christ, going to the riverbanks hunting Christ. And here I say, here's his word. And this is the order. This is the blueprint. This is the foundation. Christ is the foundation. You don't go to the bushes, you don't go to the graveyard, you don't go to the river to find Christ. Well, they organized the Ku Klux Klan. They said, no, we're not going to let you do this. But I persisted. Then they started to put me in jail. Every weekend, then I invite my people to come to the jail. We conduct our service in jail. I would preach to those in jail. I would tell them what the Lord would want me to say to people who had gotten out and even violated the law. And I was in there like them for violating the same law. I was subject to be punished for violating the same law that they had violated. But that was a greater law that we all had violated. From Adam down, we became violators of laws and sinners, a lost people. So that was too good. People in jail began to call the judge and confess their sins that they had committed against the state, and they had called local preachers and confessed the sins that they had committed against God, and they were, you know, in the church, people were repenting of their sins, and this was too good. So they turned me out of jail. No more jail for him. And the Ku Klux Klan, then they started burning crosses. Come in one evening, one was almost as tall as all those cross beams up there in the yard. But I didn't let nothing deter me. They started shooting my cows, killing my goats, burning my buildings down. But I didn't let nothing stop me. We had from the Southern District, the white superintendent came in, and then the missionary at large, Anthony Gianmitore, came in, who's an Italian priest who had been converted to Lutheranism. He came in. All of them had to go. They had to slip out by night. I had to slip them down the back roads into the fields and over into another town to catch a bus to get out, dodging the Klansmen, harassing, threatening. But I kept the mission going. I didn't give up. We built one church at Icefield. We built a church at Gaston. The church at Icefield is closed. The church at Gaston is still going, St. Peter, and it's vacant. Many of the black ministers who come to Alabama and go in have to face all kind of humiliation. As soon as you come in, they say, that's one of those nigger preachers from Lutheran church. Check him out. Oh, that's a white minister. He's pastoring them niggas down there. Check him out. I was stopped one time, had a white minister in the car with me. We was on our way to Chattanooga, and they stopped the car, and they asked me, said, who are you? I told him. He said, where are you going? I told him where I was going. And he said, Phillips Lutheran Church in Chattanooga for service. Said, who you got there with you? I told him who he was. Then I say, he'll tell you who he is. He got his credentials. Minister. Then he turned to him, he said, God forgive me for repeating it, but I'm going to tell you exactly what he said. He said, you's a sorry son of a bitch. You look like some of that white trash I saw down in Birmingham. Can't you find you a better job preaching and teaching to niggas? You that sorry? That's what he said to him. He went on to explain, he said, I don't want to hear so and so from you. You get your in that car. And he wrote him up about 4 tickets, charged him with some of everything he could think of. And then he told him, I don't want to see you ride with niggas anymore. Carried him on down the road and put him out. Left me standing there. We would do at a service 1.5 hours later in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I turns around and goes on down the road. I said, no use of going to Tennessee. I went back in the direction where they carried him. And finally, I saw him standing up in the bushes. I just happened to look up, and he's standing in the bushes on the side of the road. I stopped and got him, and he said, well, let's go back. I said, no, we're going to Chattanooga. He said, well, look what I got. I said, we're going to Chattanooga. He said, well, okay. We went up there and conducted the service. On our way back, we rested 3 times. And I was charged for running cars off the highway, just driving about in the line of traffic about 35, 40 miles an hour. And I was given 3 months in jail. Somebody say, well, that was back in 1961, 62, 64. That was a couple of years ago. There are places in Alabama that's not any better. In fact, it's even worse. Well, just 3 weeks ago, they burned the cross 14 feet high in Alabama. And a big sign on the Highway 65, the sign is there to read, we are going to waste lives. Black and white. I came through Georgia not too long ago in the afternoon, and I saw this big blaze, and I happened to peep and look down. And I could see, so like 3,000 dancing and having fun, burning across, right out of between Atlanta and a little place we called, can't call it now, on Highway 78 coming out of Atlanta, Ku Klux Klan. They are conscripting young people, old people, whoever they can, that have what they call true American blood. They say they out to restore law and order. They say they out to go back to the old way of living, a pure, white, supreme life for the citizens of America, the state of Alabama. And in the midst of this, we got to preach the gospel. In the midst of this type of system, you go to the sheriff, And the sheriff said, what I got to do with that? You ought to go and tend to your business. You go to the highway patrolman or the legislator, and they'll tell you, I have no control over them. They come in the community, they want to beat you, they beat one of the white pastors down there half to death. He had just got through visiting some of his parishes and was on his way home, and they didn't come in, so they got out and looked for him. They found him staggering down the road, almost beat to death. Pastor of the Missouri, Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Why, he was preaching to niggers. One of our black pastors driving down the road, and a little dusty road, and a little of the dust, you know how dust is going down the road, and it got on this white woman, and she went on uptown. She said, you know, that nigger passed me in that car and got dust on me. The sheriff went down and arrested him. Would have got him out and killed him, but he said, no, well, let's wait and see. But he had to leave. Black men had to leave. Little dust off his car as he passed the road, got on a white woman. That never should happen. He ought to be killed. This is the story. I could stand here and go on and on. I built a $30,000 house. All my money I had saved up. Build a house and you lived in it longer than I lived. They claimed from burning it down into ashes. The St. Joseph Insurance Company at Birmingham canceled the insurance. And I didn't get one dime. Why? That's that SOB that built that Lutheran church over there. I built another house, got it financed by City Federal in Birmingham, City Federal Loan Association. I got the documents in my room. And remember the Klang went in and said, look, said we're not going to let him live in that house. Well, I got nothing to do with it. Take the house from him, foreclose on it, get him out of there. With my payments 3 months ahead, it foreclosed on me, and the judge put me out, sent the sheriff up there, and 15 deputies and 5 highway patrolmen, and put my things out in the streets. That's the price you have to pay in Alabama for being a no-good nigger, a white trashy Lutheran preacher. Some areas of Alabama is a little better. Today there are some white churches I could go to and worship. There are some I bet not stop. Lutheran churches, Missouri Synod Lutheran churches. I was invited with some young people to Vestavia Hills, to Lutheran Church in Birmingham, Vestavia Hills. And the pastor, Pastor Woodward, had to leave. One of the pastors is here in St. Louis who had some difficulties. He's down at 500. Reverend Jim Poppe. He can tell you the story. So those of you who are going in to preach and teach the minorities, to bring them to Christ, to carry the message, and you are white, and you're going into a black community, don't you think that the whites are going to receive you? Don't you think that all the blacks are going to receive you? Don't you think it's a bed of roses? And I'm here. I was supposed to come here 30 years ago. But discrimination, the color of my skin kept me away from here. 30 years ago, I was supposed to go into ministry. I'm late. I'm 30 years late. But the color of my skin, the system in which we're living, in spite of the Almighty, in spite of the call, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. And lo, I'm with you always. You notice it's not say always. Always. even unto the end of the world. That's one consolation that you have, in spite of what I have said, in spite of what the clan has said, in spite of the system in which we're living. That's our call. And I hope that we, seminarians, will prepare ourselves thoroughly for what's to come. With the Word of God, with prayer, and with the understanding of the ministry that you must pursue your calling. Thank you very much for the opportunity to come and say in a rambling way some of the things that you as a minister, if you go south, you're going to face. And if some of your parishes, even in the northern states, happen to move into a white neighborhood, you're going to have problems up here. I had a cousin who bought a house, come in and bought a house, and couldn't live in that house. It was in the wrong place. And when we found out, the preacher in the community was the one that raised the devil. So, our prayer is to God, is that He will send us, and that He will be with us always in our ministry, even to the end of the world.